Chema. Today is a very special day, 5th December. Especially 2025, this is the 75th anniversary of the great sacrifice. And it is also the 75th anniversary of the birth of Savitri. So this is the occasion. And today there was this beautiful message card given in the ashram as we all went past to Sri Aurobindo's room. There is a piece of cotton from Sri Aurobindo's pillow which was given, and the message is from the mother in mother's handwriting. In our love for him, him H is with a capital H. Him is with a capital H. It's very interesting, sometimes small little things. In our love for him is our safety. With all my love, the mother. This is the card. This is so beautiful, powerful, and lovely symbol of Sri Aurobindo. And we are going to share the joy of Savitri on this occasion, which is the story of love. It is so beautiful, so appropriate. Not just some ordinary love, but the story of divine love descending upon earth to take care of the material creation and ultimately to transform it, because love has only serves only one purpose. One ultimate purpose of love is to unite and make one. That's the secret of love. Whatever one loves, there is an urge to unite and to become one. So when the divine descends into a material envelope, it is basically to make one spirit and matter. The divine and this material creation, the physical world, the body, that is the purpose of the divine descents. It is also true that up till now, this effort has gone on. It's a whole series of avatars, and each time the divine withdraws after putting the stamp. The beauty is the stamp never dies, that influence, because it's like, as we know, doing is remembering. So if I learn something in the body, even driving a scooter, it just stays. It becomes a memory which is inbuilt within matter itself. So each time the divine comes, he leaves an imprint, an influence, an impression, a seal and stamp and signature. And therefore, matter begins to open and respond to whatever power the divine had got into. You know, that is the main purpose. Otherwise, divine can act. He doesn't need to take a human body. He can act from there. There are vibhutis, saints, sages, countless instruments. So this time, as the mother says, it is a decisive action. And so he comes when the stamp is put, when the work is done to the extent he had come to do, he withdraws. Now that's it. We're not today not concentrating on Sri Aurobindo's Mahasamadhi, which is beautiful in its own right. But the gift, every time the divine withdraws, he gives a gift in the passing. So we know that few avatars, Buddha first time gave the gift to the people to we have a very touching story where he says that you can take the bones. You know, people say that he didn't like murtis, but he gave. So that's how Buddha's relics, stupas, came into existence, as the story goes. Sri Ram gave the gift of that ring to Hanuman, and that vision that I am in your heart, you don't have to search for me outside. Sri Krishna placed the Gita in the hands of humanity. And as after Sri Krishna's departure, we had the birth of one of the finest scriptures. We'll be starting a series on that soon. The Srimad Bhagavat Puran. And Sri Aurobindo, this is his, not just a parting gift, that's not a, because he is never parted, but that's a gift which he has placed in the hands of humanity to navigate through the dying Kaliyug and the emerging Satyug. So there is a cusp period, a transition, during which we need something to navigate, which will help us, guide us, transform us. So that is the That is Savitri. So if the question is, what is the origin of Savitri? Now, of course, scholarly, there are plenty of things. He started writing in Baroda. There was a small little script, Earth and Beyond. But that was it. Then subsequently, he took it up. 1916, he started seriously working on. Then it underwent many, many drafts, 12 drafts, revisions and expansion. And ultimately, it is the way we have it in our hands today. A lot of people say that, did he correct something or did he leave something uncorrected? I believe what Mother said is the ultimate word. How do you know that he didn't mean to leave it like that? So, that's what she said when they said that he had not revised the Book of Death. And she said, how do you know that he didn't mean to leave it like that? So, what we have received, let us bathe in that alone rather than enter into needless all kinds of, you know, controversies which are only going to complicate the human mind. So if we go back, that why was he doing it? Why was he spending so much time and again on Savitri? Savitri and Ilion were the two poems, most favorite to Sri Aurobindo. Ilion much after Savitri. But after Savitri, if there was any poem, he said Ilion. And he also expressed that he would have wanted to complete it, but he did not. And when Savitri is over, then he says, he is satisfied that the work is done. And that's when, within 2 weeks, he withdraws. After 2 weeks, December 1950, we have the first part of Savitri coming in the hands of humanity. And Sri Aurobindo has said in so many words, this is his most important work. Mother says that all the rest is preparation, Savitri is the message. This is very brief about the scholarly part of it. Now, much has been written about it and spoken about it, so it's all available everywhere. But I want to put it that if somebody asked me, what is the origin of Savitri, I would say love. Because Savitri's story is the story of love conquering death, Sri Aurobindo himself speaks of. What love? Conjugal love. Meaning thereby love which is very human. See, he uses the word conjugal love even in his author's note. Human love. So human love is like the raw material which has the capacity to be transmuted into divine love. And when it is transmuted into divine love, then it has the power of transformation. The power of transformation is with love. And it's amazing that in the time of the Vedas, because Savitri is a story from the Vedic cycle, and that's how it has come down till today, and in Indian household it has been a common story. But the interesting part is that the birth of the story in its original form, or rather the way it was given in Mahabharata, is when Yudhishthira asks Markandeya Rishi that is there one woman who has suffered more than Savitri, even though she was as righteous as her? And Markandeya Rishi says, yes, very much. Not only she just didn't suffer, she conquered adverse fate. Now, so I transpose it in today's times, probably looking at the condition of women in general. They would have all the feminine voices would have gone to Sri Aurobindo. Actually, this has happened because Jayadi asked Sri Aurobindo that don't make me a woman in next life. Because you don't know, you have no idea how difficult it is to live as a woman. Even to come to you has been so difficult. And Sri Aurobindo smiled and said, don't worry, I am changing the age. You don't have to change your gender. These are recorded words of his in Jayadevi's reminiscences. So all the voices of the earth have gone to him and saying that, well, has there been such a plight of women ever in mankind? And he would say that, you know, Savitri is the answer. There is a beautiful passage in Savitri itself that Savitri is an answer to what? So Ashupati is contemplating, you know, see, I mark pages, but invariably something else will come up. So, so there is this beautiful passage which you know, Ashupati has a vision when he hears an Akashvani, and the Akashvani tells him that, look, Ashupati, everything is fine, but this world still needs it. The work is not done. And powerful words, page 371, it's a description of the human condition. And it closes with this: the great illusion wraps him in its veils. The soul's deep intimations come in vain. In vain is the unending line of seers. The sages ponder in unsubstantial light. The poets lend their voice to outward dreams. A homeless fire inspires the prophet tongues. Heaven's flaming lights descend and back return. The luminous eye approaches and retires. Eternity speaks. None understands its word. Fate is unwilling, and the abyss denies. The inconscient, mindless waters block all done. So as he's hearing this, and further he hears, the wise who know see but one half of truth. The strong climb hardly to a low-peaked height. The hearts that yearn are given 1 hour to love. His tale, half told, falters the secret bard. The gods are still too few in mortal forms. Now this is not just an Akashvani, it's the anguish. It's revealing. Look here, Ashupati. This is the half-done work. This is a poem of Mother of Sri Aurobindo. One day and all the half dead begun. One day and all the half, whatever is half done, is fulfilled. Now what is beautiful here is, see how Sri Aurobindo juxtaposes images. Now he is hearing Akashvani. So normally it is like, okay, now what is to be done? Yes, that is a human condition. Now look here, Sri Aurobindo with his master stroke. The voice withdrew into its hidden skies. It's only narrated the anguish. But what is to be done? This we all know. And now Sri Aurobindo says, but like a shining answer from the gods, approached through sun-bright spaces, Savitri. Now we can completely put that image onto the book, Savitri. What is the origin? Origin is love. Origin is the human aspiration for perfection upon earth. Origin is the sun, from where the sun bright spaces he is descending on earth. So you see what a beautiful image it is. He is describing in the context of Savitri, the princess, Savitri, the yogini. But these lines would absolutely apply to Savitri, the book, because I'll read again. But like a shining answer from the gods, approached through sun-bright spaces, Savitri. So Savitri is the answer of the divine to the human quest, to the human aspiration for a perfection of life here. And this story has been going on like a parallel tale in creation right from the beginning. So we see this quest for immortality. Basically, if we look at quest for immortality, ultimately, it means some kind of conquest over death. Now this, there are several levels of immortality. That's a subject in its own right. What did the Vedic rishis acquire, the Upanishadic sages, and how man has approached the problem of mortality, problem of death. But physical immortality, is it possible? Is it possible to conquer death at the physical level? That's the ultimate challenge. And the challenge is because the body is the strongest hold of the inconscient, as we all know. Because inconscient has as if yielded it, just like the sea yields the land. Some places they have the sea yielding the land for various reasons. Now when the sea yields the land, you can't just, you know, sea is all around. It can any time take it back. It has yielded the land. That's it. So, you know, the human body is something like inconscient, or the body, matter, material creation is something which inconscient has yielded. Why? Because of love, presence of love in the depths. That's how the mother describes. If consciousness is the creatrix of the universe, then love is the savior. So when love descended, then consciousness ultimately yielded. And what did it yield first? It said, okay, I'll yield something of myself, and we have this beautiful material universe, and still continuing to yield. Universe is still expanding. So this is the first victory of love over the inconscient, which is what death is ultimately. And then step by step it is yielding, little by little, something of the growth of consciousness, forms changing, and till it has come to this point where we stand today. So there is a parallel story going on in creation, which is the story of love, which all evolution, all progress is because of the presence of divine love. And this is something which is so remarkable. We speak of karma. If karmic law is absolute, there is no role of grace, love, and basically there is no chance of progress. Because given the human condition, and human beings have started from, let's not forget, from a stage when we were just like barbarians. Many of us still may be, only thing is now barbarians wear nice suit pant and go in Mercedes. But barbarians are barbarians, it doesn't matter. But still, at least the barbarian has learned hypocrisy. He wants to hide his barbarianism, which is a good sign. At least he is paying homage that, okay, there is a better way to live. He is accepting it. So if we look at how human life has evolved through all these stages, it's clearly a story of love which is running as if behind the human life, behind all life, all creation, like a parallel stream, and time to time touching it. And one of the moments when it touches is when the divine himself comes to earth. It's an act of love, because divine advent upon earth is repetition of the first act of divine love when he plunged into creation. That's what is called as the sacrifice of the Purusha in the Rig Veda, but Sri Aurobindo says much more so, it is the sacrifice of the divine mother. Because it's this force which has gone into creation. Even all the Puranas speak about it. Purusha has only allowed, okay, take my body and its different parts. But who has gone into creation? It is his force. And it is this act of love, which is an act of sacrifice of the divine into the inconscient, is repeated every time the divine takes a body and comes upon earth. This is the mystery of avatar, which people miss, and we have been reading it. It's a big grace to recognize this. Mother goes on to say, there is one of her passages where she describes that, well, this is the meaning of the original sin and the last judgment. So original sin is taking a material body. Why it is a sin? You have committed no sin. But it is sin because this material body is stamped with the inconscient all around. And the redemption comes by grace. And then she goes on to say, if you just have faith in the divine sacrifice in matter, she says, they may not know what has happened, but this is enough to redeem, this is enough to transform. So divine incarnation is very, very special, and something we can, in India, we can remember. Across other side of the globe, we see people talk about divine within and self above, and all that is fine. But Rama and Krishna and Christ and Buddha continue to rule humanity. Human mind and thought keeps running to them. And now, of course, Sri Aurobindo's Leela has just started. How much ever you may say, because divine in flesh and blood. So Savitri is the story of that divine sacrifice in far back times, when the divine mother appears in the form of flesh and blood. And that's why it is so special. It's a special act of love where the divine enters crammed up into a human psychological space. Often people speak of how long Sri Aurobindo lived, and there are different ways they look at it. I say, I'm amazed actually with Sri Aurobindo, with such consciousness, which is the suns are burning inside. You know, one who is writing, I have wrapped the wide world in my wider self. Someone who is writing Arcturus and Belphegor burn as a fire in a corner of my boundless self. How was he living in the human body? 78 years is a big period. It's not easy even to dwell one day, because this house of flesh will not allow. So that's the origin. It's the divine sacrifice in matter. And of course, for us, the same story of Savitri and Satyavan repeated from age to age. He says that it's not just an allegory, but from time to time they take a human birth. They are living forces which take a human birth. See, Sri Aurobindo is a perfect gentleman. He's saying everything so quietly. He's saying, from time to time, these forces take a human birth. He's not saying myself and mother. That's are also continuing. The project that started in the Vedic age is arriving at its fulfillment today with Sri Aurobindo's Savitri. So Savitri documents that divine sacrifice in matter, which is in the life of the mother and Sri Aurobindo. It's their story. And merely it is believed. See, when Sri Krishna withdraws, Bhagavat is given to man. And as the story goes, that everybody is saying, without Sri Krishna, how we will live? It was so easy with him. So they say, no, Bhagavat will do the same work. So as Sri Aurobindo withdraws, he places in a hand Savitri, which will do the same work. So it puts our consciousness in contact with Sri Aurobindo and the mother, joint consciousness. Because it's written by Sri Aurobindo, and it's primarily the heroine, the main protagonist of this poem is the Divine Mother. So it's so beautiful that Sri Aurobindo has brought together, and of course his experiences are there, Divine Mother's experiences are there. Revealing experiences is like revealing your heart. See, this is a book where Sri Aurobindo and the mother have bared their heart. Even, you know, bearing the heart means come. If you enter into the heart, it's like through this book, it's a living personality, we enter into the heart of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. Isn't it so? Even in human life, whom do we bear our heart? And if somebody bears one's heart to the other person, then what it means we all know. Bearing the body is nothing, but bearing the heart is so special. And here Sri Aurobindo and the mother have bared their heart, their anguish, their what they have gone through. You see the anguish of Ashwapati when he is face to face with the Divine Mother. He says, I want you here. You see, you know, how he renounces the personal realization for the sake of earth. All that is there. And because, again, he is a perfect gentleman, he is not writing at his own, as his own autobiography, but this is his. So reading it means entering into the most sacred or most secret sanctum sanctorum. Because this is his heart, heart of love, which he has poured upon us and opened the doors. And it is not only his heart and the mother, where they are secretly one. So to read Savitri is to not only come in contact with them, to enter into them. I would use that word. It doesn't matter whether one understands, doesn't understand. Nobody can understand. Nobody can explain Savitri. Let's start with that. But we all can share the joy of Savitri. And there may be countless ways of sharing the joy. And it multiplies. It's like Valmiki Ramayana. There's so many versions of Ramayana. I, for one, because I love Ramayana and Mahabharata, I have watched so many versions, even comic strips. Why? Not because I want to understand anything or because of the story, but there is something about even a cartoon serial on Krishna, Hanuman, you just love. Why? Because it enhances the joy. It's not for understanding. So Savitri is that delight packed into words. And the sign that one is understanding is that when we stand under the umbrella of Savitri, we receive that joy which is there. Lines after lines of delight. So Savitri's message, first message is that a secret bliss is at the root of things. That's what Sri Aurobindo says. This world is not an accident. This world is not some inexplicable maya. This world is a manifestation of delight, expression of delight. Delight is the origin. Delight is the thread which runs within. Even the man who is most hopeless situation. And this, as psychologists, we know, even somebody who gives a distress call that I feel like committing suicide, still wants to hold on by what thread? There is no faith, there is no hope. There is something which is there as sap running behind life. Ashwath tree image, the other day we were talking about. What is watering the Ashwath tree, giving life to, is sap, soma. Because of this, men forget to die. Because of this, we strive. Because of this, we fall and rise again. Because of this, we accept suffering. Because at the end, somewhere intuitively, we understand it's a journey of delight. Like a player who plays, he enjoys the game. And if he doesn't bring too rigidly that this is about failure and success, no. Game is for the joy of the play. And Sri Aurobindo brings that out fully in the open. And therefore, the end is going to be delight. So this is what is revealed in Savitri. And this is so because there is a truth which has made this world. Page 600, randomly, I've marked here and there, but I don't know, randomly. This is another very powerful, you know, we keep hearing about Maya, Maya, explanations about Maya. Everything one wants to know about Maya is there in Savitri. Both, the double Maya. The Maya of ignorance and the Maya of knowledge, and what is beyond both the Mayas, their interconnectedness, everything is there. So there is no secret that he has not left uncovered before us. But Maya is a veil of the absolute. He himself has done it. Put the veil. Why? Because it's not easy to look upon his face right away. He will. He will take us first step by step till we are coming closer and closer. Then one day he lifts the veil. We have to be ready. And even after lifting the veil, can the body embody that truth? A truth occult has made this mighty world. The Eternal's wisdom and self-knowledge act in ignorant mind and in the body's steps. The inconscient is the superconscient sleep. This is the ultimate Vedanta. Complete reconciliation of the shadow and the light. Complete reconciliation. And these hints are there in the scriptures, but they have been lost over a period of time. The inconscient is the superconscient sleep. An unintelligible intelligence. Look at this. This like, you know, I don't want to. What a joy to read these apparent contraries. Invents creations, paradox profound. Spiritual thought is crammed in matter's forms. Original Veda is all over. In every grain of sand, the Veda is written. Even if that's what people who invaded India didn't understand. They destroyed temples, burned books. It doesn't matter. Because in India, Sanatana Dharma has grown with this idea that Veda is in every heart. That's what Shubhendu says. The eternal Veda is secret in the heart of every living conscious being. So he says, unseen it throws out a dumb energy and works a miracle by a machine. All here is a mystery of contraries. Darkness, a magic of self-hidden light. Suffering, some secret rapture's tragic mask, and death, an instrument of perpetual life. Okay, since we are reading about death, when Mother was asked, what is it that we should do between 5th and 9th? She says, you must contemplate on death. So since it's 5th December, and since these lines have come, so let's read this fully, few lines. Although death walks beside us on life's road, a dim bystander at the body's start, and a last judgment on man's futile works. See how perfect the language is. Body's start. That's it. Body begins and ends, not the soul. This, you pick up one half a phrase of Sri Aurobindo, it changes the whole perspective. Other is the riddle of its ambiguous face. Death is a stair, a door, a stumbling stride. The soul must take to cross from birth to birth. A great defeat, pregnant with victory. Actually, 5th December can be fully understood. Sri Aurobindo did withdraw, but he withdrew to hasten the supramental manifestation upon earth. And it is so of all of us. It seems like a life's work is gone, but no, it is carried now. Next life you improve. It's like constant progress. So death is a door towards constant progress. In fact, there is no death. It's simply a passage. A whip to lashes towards a deathless state. The inconscient world is the spirit's self-made room. See, this whip to lashes is so interesting. Both Mother and Sri Aurobindo, when physically they withdraw, it's like actually the Leela has exploded. During Sri Aurobindo's physical presence, how many people, you know, imagine for 40 years, from 1910 to 50, he is there physically. He is writing the Arya. Arya started 1914. All these thoughts are going all over the world. How many people came? Ultimately in the ashram, they were about 250 when Sri Aurobindo physically withdraws. Why is it that there is an explosion? It's paradox. actually, after the master withdraws, the thing should come down. Why is it growing? So this is the beauty. It lashes. Something in the human consciousness suddenly cries out in aspiration and anguish. Like Sri Krishna's withdrawal, exile created devotional religion. So that's how one has to see, you know, when the avatar withdraws from the Leela, outer mind does not know, it doesn't matter. But something in the human consciousness, because the stamp is on matter, feels that anguish. Earth itself feels the anguish. And that gets translated in the human consciousness as in mounting fire of aspiration. That we see happening. So it also becomes a strategy. Mother used the word strategic sacrifice. Eternal night, shadow of eternal day. Night is not our beginning, nor our end. She is the dark mother in whose womb we have hid. Safe from too swift a waking to world pain. It's so beautiful. We get worried, oh, how long ignorance will be there, how long darkness. Even this is his Leela. He can remove it in a moment. He has kept it because he knows the steps. So slowly the consciousness grows, evolves. And if we learn to surrender and do our bit, of course, then the whole blossoming takes place beautifully. But if you become impatient, because even ignorance, even darkness is his plan. It is also an act of the great world mother who hides the little baby as a seed in the womb. Safe from too swift waking to world pain. You see, there are people who enjoy selfies all across. And people say, oh, these people, let them enjoy. If they take to yoga, they will. They are not ready. They'll say, oh my God, I have to master myself. This is very tough. It's much easier to worry about your livelihood. Because one is ready for that. When the time comes, the selfie will, only divine will drop the I from that and the E from that. And they will seek the self, not the selfie. So don't worry. He knows when to conceal, he knows when to reveal, he knows how to reveal. All is his Leela. That's what, because you know, here there is nowhere that man is doing this, man is doing that, nothing. And who are we? He gives us our true identity. We came to her from a supernal light, by light we live and to the light we go. Sri Krishna says that, Etada yoni, I am the womb of all creatures. From the light we come, to the light we go. So what is this journey? He describes beautifully. This is so, so refreshing from the, you know, what is the work we are here to do? So he describes the human journey and he says very beautifully, there is a work to do. Because one of the things which we find missing in contemporary spiritual literature, even in ancient spiritual literature, if we look hard, not on the surface, is the purpose of life. Now you may say moksha, but moksha is absurd. It's an escape. It's not purpose of life. You can't say moksha is the purpose of life, because then the question is why life began? Why all this struggle? Why all this descent? Why all this prapancha? Why all this sansara? Why all this maya, if at the end? So it moksha cannot be purpose of life. Moksha is like, I don't know the purpose of life. Perhaps there is none. Perhaps it's all vanity. Okay, there is a possibility. Okay, I'll take that. So moksha is not a purpose of life. It's a, maybe for tired souls, a resting point. That's how Mother says. There are two kinds of souls. There are some who want to run away. Escape. But they are heroic souls. And their thing is echoed in what Savitri asks, that earth is the chosen place of heroic souls. And she says that I don't abandon earth for the sake of higher worlds. Just read those lines. From page 692. So these are two soul, types of souls. Probably this has been in the origin before the plunge took place. That there are souls which have chosen, and whatever may happen, they will continue with this. So page 692, but Savitri answered to the radiant God. So when we came, we made, originally contract is already there. You want to just go for an excursion trip to the Himalayas, or you want to settle? Or you want to link, turn this place into the beauty of the Himalayas? So this has been already decided. But Savitri answered, this what is the answer that the human hearts which are destined for this yoga will give to all the challenges of life. In vain thou temptest with solitary bliss. See, this is a collective yoga, something very interesting. Sri Krishna just touches upon collective yoga, Lok Sangrahartha. He doesn't develop it, but he touches upon it. Before that, it's not collective yoga, it's groups, Sangha, which is different. It's like people coming together and, you know, aspiring for, you know, strengthening each other's aspiration. It's different. That's not collective yoga. Collective yoga is for earth. What's going to happen here? Similarly, we have Sikh Sangat. That's not collective yoga. So here we have the seeds of collective yoga. Two spirits saved out of a suffering world, my soul and his indissolubly linked, in the one task for which our lives were born, to raise the world to God in deathless light. So we have come from light. We must fulfill that. To bring God down to the world, on earth we came to change the earthly life to life divine. And that means that one has to continue staying here in this body of flesh and continue to aspire. That's what brings the supreme down. That's what we see in the Puranas. Earth keeps aspiring. And then the divine comes. So we all have something of earthly matter within us. So we are also children of Prithvi, Prithu. And we are also children of the divine. So the divine element in us should aspire for this being within the body, not escape from the body, not escape into nirvana, moksha, or outer body experiences into different worlds, sorties into different worlds. And then it is that aspiration, collective aspiration, that brings the divine down. And therefore, this purpose, now this of course, she is revealing the ultimately some souls which are marked. But here on page 72, Shobindu reminds us, there is a truth to know, a work to do. Her play is real, a mystery he fulfills. What a refreshing thought this is. Her play is real. I think Ramanujacharya speaks about it, no? That the play is real. Was it he or Vallabhacharya? I think Ramanujacharya, who speaks about the play is real. But it doesn't take it to that level where sometimes when I had read it, I thought, oh, this is a seed here of what Sri Aurobindo is going to bring out. He says the play is real, which was so challenging at the time. He goes to different yogis and questions them, and he had his own logic that the play is real, but not getting into that. There is a plan in the mother's deep world whim. So often people say, why did the mother do this? Arey bhai. You don't even know why you are doing what you are doing. When people say, why mother did? So I ask the same, do you know why you are doing whole day what you are doing? No. Then why mother is doing? See, inner world vim. Actually, with the eyes of yoga, when we look back into the life, we see how everything she has planned. And even what seemed like stumbles, what seemed like falls, what seemed like suffering, was actually used by master artisan to lead us where we are. And then, you know, all fear, everything vanishes. Because she knows the steps. And because she is sure that even through the Mahabharata she is going to carry us, she takes us. Only somebody who is all powerful can do it. When someone asked that, you know, in Sri Aurobindo Ashram there is so much freedom, boys and girls mix freely, all this, it is like and Gritam and what mixes with Gritam and buns? Wood. Huh? Cotton. No, he said wood. Wood and Gritam. if you cast her and Vritam, if you mix together, it will burn. It is bound to catch fire today or tomorrow. So how come Sri Aurobindo is allowing all this? So much freedom he has given. So the answer was so powerful. People don't understand who can give freedom. See, he says, because he is divine. Divine knows he is going to call the last shot. And he says that you cannot create Superman in any other way. You have to allow that. And who can allow? Only somebody who is all powerful, majestic. How could Sri Aurobindo say in 51, mother says that, you know, when Mridu passed away, what power? He said, henceforth, whoever leaves his body here, come straight to me. So that power which comes from where? In Bhole Baba, Asutosh. So there is a plan in the mother's deep well-being. That's why we should surrender and accept in life whatever is happening. Should we do something or not? Yes, we should do. We have our own job description. That's fair enough. Even enduring is a job description. Having faith is a job description. Aspiration is a job description. Rejection is a job description. But trying to, you know, fight with everything and everyone, that's not the job description. Mother's world whim. What a fantastic line. It may look random. Oh, what did she do? She was doing this. What happened? Don't worry. She knows. We can't tie her to any method, rule, anything. There is a plan in the mother's deep world whim. That's what surrender is. That's the basis of surrender, this knowledge. A purpose in her vast and random game. It looks random, but it's too vast, so we don't know all the coordinates. Therefore, it looks random. But she knows. That's what faith should tell us. And that purpose is, of course, with the truth light strike earth's massive roots of trance. Oh, this is wonderful. To evoke a person in the impersonal void with the truth light strike earth's massive roots of trance, wake a dumb self in the inconscient depths and raise a lost power from its python sleep that the eyes of the timeless might look out from time and the world manifest the unveiled divine. This is how the supramental creation is going to come up. This line which I read, no, the eyes of the timeless might look out from time. So this my personal, not just understanding, experience or whatever one may say, that they are there in the supramental body, but our eyes and consciousness is not tuned to it. So now through development, these eyes will get more and more tuned. The body will get more and more tuned. That's what it is written in Savitri also, that she came to acclimatize us to breathe heaven air. See, in Pondicherry and air of Auroville, which of course is a miracle. So when you breathe that air, you have to just be a little sensitive. Mother was asked that if everybody doesn't feel so, she says, yes, it requires a degree of development. She says, if you are living in higher consciousness, you will automatically feel the difference. And why? What is it in us which feels the difference? That is where we have to understand that we are adapting. She is helping her instruments to adapt. Because she was moving at a very fast speed. So slowly the instruments are getting adapted, and a time will come when this time-bound eyes will start seeing through the timeless vision. The timeless will start seeing through these time-bound eyes. And that meeting point is the meeting point when the supramental creation will realize itself upon earth. And again, the union of matter and spirit is the message of Sri Aurobindo. Union of worldly life, earthly life, and the life divine. And the divine life, life divine, so that the divine life can be created. This is his message. And this we find in Savitri everywhere. So he says again on page 56, we must renew the secret bond in things. Our hearts recall the lost divine idea. This is what people say, that all these AI searches, no, like if you search supramental, this line will not come. But divine idea is about supermind. What is the divine idea? That's how the creation is started. Shubhendu uses the word real idea. Here he uses the word divine idea. So what is the original idea behind creation, which is buried in everything? It's the determinate, the soul determinate. There are so many cosmic determinates which are floating around, and yet ultimately the seed of a mango tree, langda mango, will grow into a langda mango tree. That is because the supramental is there. And so our hearts recall the lost divine idea. What is in us, which is the purpose of life, for my life? That's how we can recall. Practice is that every day. Mother says you should sit for a few minutes and look into yourself. Ask yourself, what is my purpose? There is an idea within us, or the divine has put. And we have lost it. Why? Because of the clamor of desires, ambitions, noises of the world. We must reconnect that lost bond. First within and then with creation. What is creation trying to express? Reconstitute the perfect word, unite. Now you see, we have so many explanations of Om. There is a whole Upanishad on that. Mandukya Upanishad. Now you see, this is called master, master of masters. In two lines, he is revealing the secret of Om. Reconstitute the perfect word, unite the Alpha and the Omega in one sound, then shall the spirit and nature be at one. See, it strikes as a revealing. It's the same Chatushpad Brahman, who is at the core, also becomes Virat. See, this unity is always there. Who are we to divide what God has left united? So it's so beautiful. And everywhere we see this, and as a perfect example of that, because the story of the divine avatar, we have the divine himself comes to reveal by his own personal example how matter and spirit can be united. In mother's life, Sri Aurobindo's life, one can see it. And mother's life right up to, you know, every activity which is human activity. If we someday probably we'll have talk on just the human Savitri and how Sri Aurobindo has portrayed her throughout as Savitri the daughter, Savitri the wife, Savitri the yogini, Savitri who takes on the challenge of life. All of that is here in Savitri, the human Savitri, because that is an example for us to follow. And so on page 8, as he introduces the heroine of the great epic, the only heroine, all others are, even her humanity was half divine. Divine comes to show by his own life, his personal example, what it is to lead the divine life. You want to read, understand life divine? Read the life divine, what is divine life throughout. Keep reading it 40 times. Read Sri Aurobindo's and the mother's life once. You'll understand what is divine life. Of course, nowadays, unfortunately, I have to say from authentic sources. Because if you write a life on the surface, that's not Sri Aurobindo's life. That's not even an ordinary human being life. If you describe our own life that, you know, I was born here, and or anybody's life for that matter, is that life you are writing? It is so stupid and silly, but people in the name of, you know, they write that. But if somebody, there have been, I mean, my personal favorite is Rishabh Chand's wonderful book. Even Sat Prem's Adventure of Consciousness. There are some very beautiful. Mother's, George has written very good book, but still, something is still there which needs to be brought out. So this is what she is. Her spirit open to the spirit in all. See, her humanity is half divine. Her nature felt all nature as its own. This is the path she is showing us. Be wide. Apart, living within, all life she bore. Aloof, she carried in herself the world. Her dread was one with the great cosmic dread. Her strength was founded on the cosmic mights. To the lone immortals, unshared work, she rose. There are so many places where Sri Aurobindo describes that, you know, she did not speak of her pain to anyone. Simply because others will be pained. She was taking the burden of the race. And when she knows that Satyavan is going to die, she is aware and the parents are aware. But when she goes and lives with Dyumatsena, Satyavan and his parents, she never breathes out even once. See, the portrayal of the woman as the strongest of, you know, she is no abla. She is more than sabla. She doesn't even breathe about her pain to anyone. And every day, you know, that she turns her suffering into a poignant sword, into something which can transcend and bring the greater destiny down. Conquer fate, conquer death. This is how we should deal with suffering. It should turn into a sword, into a flame. And that's what we see even in love and death, which of course we see only the half aspect is there, where the suffering of Ruru, he turns that suffering into such an aspiration that even gods wonder, what is this kind of love? Most people would forget. They would simply write a report that his wife died of snake bite. He will do some Shraddha ceremony and that's it. Then they will start looking for another suitor. After all, a young boy. So, what is this kind of love? See, this also Shobindu, no? He says vital love, but reaching its heights. What is this kind of love? So, gods try to dissuade him. Indra sends that, you know, please, Vayu, Dev, you go and caress him while he's sleeping. He'll feel it is Pramadvara and he will be satisfied. And he does feel satisfied for a moment when he's sleeping. When he wakes up and sees that she is not there, somebody has fooled me, then that anguish in his heart going through his eyes burns the tree under whose shade he is sleeping. Then they say, this is beyond us. And they send Kamadev, the god of love, you try something. He says, he will not. He will win. See, that is also a story, but it's sacrificing half his life. Half his life is not just material life. It means all the experiences, possibilities, realizations which were possibly sacrifices. And here also we see that Savitri, the sacrifice of love to Dom. That's why this is the great sacrifice. Shobindu sacrificed his own personal realization so that it can be brought to all of us. That's what we see in Book 1, Canto 1, end. And then there is a reminder, because we may say such a difficult job description through lives. So Savitri's story reminds us we are not alone. The divine is always with us. And he takes, as an avatar he comes and he continues to remain fully. This is a different subject and we have shortage of time. But you know how the avatar continues to assist mankind through the passage. So the mother's message of 7th December, that you will remain here. This is the assurance he gives completely, not only as a consciousness, but as a dynamic presence. Till the earth is transformed. He continues to guide. This is his job description. So we should accept. He has taken. So there is a description here. Okay. Yet a spiritual secret aid is there. While a tardy evolution's coils wind on and nature use her way through adamant, a divine intervention thrones above. Alive in a dead rotating universe, we whirl not here upon a casual globe, abandoned to a task beyond our force, even through the tangled anarchy called fate. What a description. You don't know where the thread was. You don't know where the thread is going to lead. You see, when you open this wool, when it gets a childhood, I am sure many of us used to do, when mothers would have to make a sweater. And one of the job was, we will open and we would get it more entangled, because you don't know where the that part is, that chore, that end is. So tangled anarchy. And through the bitterness of death and fall, an outstretched hand is felt upon our lives. It is near us in unnumbered bodies and births. In its unslackening grasp, it keeps for us safe. the one inevitable supreme result. No will can take away and no doom change the crown of conscious immortality, the Godhead promised to our struggling soul, that one day the soul will discover and realize its own Godhead, what it is meant to be. That's what its Godhead is. That aspect of the divine supreme which is born to manifest through the process of lives. That is the Godhead. The Godhead promised to our struggling souls when first man's heart dared death and suffered life. It's a book of prophecy also, where he describes very well, beautifully, that when will this happen? And he says, thus will the mass transcendent mount his throne when darkness deepens, strangling the earth's breast. So however thick the darkness, the original plan stands and it will be fulfilled. And when the night is darkest, the dawn is nearest. And whole nature teaches us this. When winter reaches its peak, then spring is nearby. You know, that famous poet, I think Keats said this, spring is not far behind. And life also. And man's corporeal mind is the only lamp, as a thief's in the night shall be the covert tread of one who steps unseen into his house. So we must learn to wait. This is something which this is not a fast food yoga. This is not a 10-day course. You pay some dollars and suddenly you say, I felt very good. that is not one of those things. You can feel good skiing, diving, bungee jumping. This is not a feel-good yoga. It's something authentic. It takes time. So we have to wait and aspire like Ahalya. See, that story is so beautiful. She has become like a stone. She has fallen from a great height. Anybody else would give up. Actually, the story is not correctly narrated. Just to quickly correct the story. So Ahalya is a aspirant soul who has reached very high and then there is a curse and she falls. But in Valmiki Ramayana, so when Vishwamitra is taking, nobody goes near her. Why? Because she's a fallen lady. People say she's an accursed lady. But when she is going, Rama and Lakshmana are going near her, Vishwamitra says, be careful, Ram, you are going to enter a very sacred place. Because the atmosphere of this place is very divine. Be careful. So according to Valmiki Ramayana, he goes there and he touches Ahilya's feet. She is sitting in that state. Because she has fallen, she doesn't give up. Stone-like monument. She is sitting and aspiring. Knowing very well that one day he will come. And that's when he touches, bends to touch her. She comes out and she is released. This is something very powerful. That even in that state you can continue to aspire and be. This is the original story, incidentally. Okay, so don't go by the leftist propaganda. What else to say? This is the original story. You can make any number of stories. That's a different thing. Anyways, so finally we come to, because time, so we come to what is the message, therefore, what we should do. And what, so in book 12 we have some of these beautiful things. This life on earth is going to be transformed into a divine life. Why? Because divine is in control. He is in charge. That's for sure. And he has undertaken this work. This work is not ours to transform life into divine life, but ours is to align and open. Let him do, but let him do in you. And as we do that, as he does it in us, automatically each one of us becomes a radiating center through which the divine life and possibility starts getting into this atmosphere. This is the secret of collective yoga. And what would happen when life is divinized? Book 12, page 719. All now is changed, yet all is still the same. Will such a person who has realized divine life start putting before his name Param Yogi, start wearing saffron or blue or white, I don't know, and start sitting on a pedestal, I am now Guruji, All now is changed, yet all is still the same. Look at the beauty of these lines. It's not externally one changes. It means one's nature changes externally, even the most outer self. But everything, every relations remain the same. Lo, we have looked upon the face of God. Our life has opened with divinity. You see, every line is worth some. Face of God looking upon. That's what is given in the Gita as the Param Drashtva. Very passingly, Gita mentions that only a person who is a Param Drashtva, he actually ultimately, only then all the bonds are broken. Now, Shobindu passes it so. Now, Satyavan has done nothing to do earn this. See the beauty. No, he has done something. Oh, Savitri, my Savitri. That's what he has done. The yoga of Satyavan is summarized in surrender, surrender, surrender. Begins with surrender, proceeds with surrender, he dies with surrender. Savitri, you take me in your lap. So when we have thus surrender, she makes sure that we look upon the eyes of God. That's what we, she is saying we. Lo, we have looked upon the face of God, our life has opened with divinity. We have borne identity with the Supreme and known His meaning in our mortal life. See what she has won for Satyavan. Satyavan doesn't even know. And yet he has received the blessing, the vision of the Supreme, the divine life. Everything has been done for him. Look at the beauty. She is saying we. Our love has grown greater by that mighty touch and learned its heavenly significance. Yet nothing is lost of mortal love's delight. Heaven's touch fulfills, but cancels not our earth's. Who could say this with so much power and emphasis? And then, yes, finally, we come to that where Savitri gives her own secret. And that is the secret we all must grow into. Everywhere we see, Sri Aurobindo speaks of the crown. And the crown is love. Today, that message also, let's read again. In our love for Him, Sri Aurobindo, is our safety with all my love. So all the sages, when everything has happened, Dumatsena's sight has come back, kingdom has come back, and they are wondering, why this magic? What is the secret of this magic? And then Satyavan says, lay all on her, she is the cause of all. So they look at her and her face is radiant, everything, and they want to know that what is your secret, what is your path? Literally they want to know what is your path, what is the yoga you are doing, what sect you belong to, what cult, what school of philosophy you come from. So all these questions are, you see, the ultimate message. If this is she of whom the world has heard, wonder no more at any happy change, each easy miracle of felicity of her transmuting heart, the alchemy is. Then one spoke there who seemed a priest and sage. Oh, woman's soul. See, feminine is changed the whole. Soul doesn't have a gender. But the woman's soul is the vibhutis and those which are moved by the Divine Mother's passion for this world to be transformed, not by the Purusha's withdrawal. So, oh woman's soul, what light, what power revealed, working the rapid marvels of the day, opens for us by thee a happier age. So they ask, what is that light, what is that power that you are having? And this is the final message of Savitri, the ultimate message. If someone wants to know, four lines. Awakened to the meaning of my heart, that to feel love and oneness is to live. Most will not qualify for being alive. Love and oneness, both, means it's not just a love within yourself, for a few, oneness, where you are the whole creation, you are one with that creation. That is that boundless love. To feel love and oneness is to live. And this, the magic of our golden change, is all the truth I know or seek, O sage. So now, see, many places, Shubhino, subtle humor comes. Now they have asked, They were expecting probably she will give a big lecture, some mantra, some method. You don't know, you know, Abhinav Gupta has spoken about it. And you know, Visishtadvaita has, you people don't know, that's the path I'm following. And I have realized by this process of meditation, nothing. Now she has said something which the sages are wondering. Now look at Sri Aurobindo's punchline. Savitri has finished this. Wondering at her and her two luminous words. The most luminous words are in the most simplest of language. So if somebody asks us, what is the yoga you are doing? You simply say, love the mother. See, even that is difficult for us. So all that we know is that the mother loves us. No. Tell us what yoga you are doing. Wondering at her and her two luminous words, westward they turned in the fast gathering night. Thank you so much. I just enjoyed because 75th year of Savitri, and it was such a delight to bathe in her love. Savitri is an ocean of divine love. This is the ultimate message. That with divine love is the power of transformation. And the more we open to that divine love which Mother and Sri Aurobindo embodied, the more rapidly we'll proceed on the journey. It also brings the message that the transformation is going to be. Why it is going to be? Because it doesn't depend on us humans. It is a task undertaken by the divine. And that which the divine undertakes, even if looks like a distant dream, is fulfilled in course of time. So do we have something to do? Yes. Our work is to give ourselves, like Satyavan, to Savitri. And give ourselves not with the idea, Satyavan doesn't say, Savitri, you look very royal. I feel love for you. Will you take me along to your father's place and we can dwell there happily together? That would be the modern version of wanting to dwell in Vaikuntha. Okay? He doesn't say that. See, it's so beautiful. Satyavan says instead, if your mortal body can dally with fatigue, if you can come and receive, I have only these things to give. Then descend, come down to us with your moon gold feet. This is the difference in the aspiration. Not to escape from earthly life into some heaven of beatitude and splendor, but to aspire, seek, want God to come down and dwell within the mortal frame amidst us in our earthly life. This is the aspiration that and the path shown by Savitri. Jai Ma.